All right. Well, from one personality to another, the Clearing the Crease podcast rolls on. Matthew Barnaby, man, first off, Barney, like, props to you because you sent our show viral over the better part of the last 2 months. Like, the amount of reactions and comments I get on social media still for the Dominic Hasek take, which I didn't think was all that crazy, but man, there's some very passionate Patrick Roy fans out there and whatnot. But man, thank you very much and welcome back.
Yeah, I guess you just have to hate someone that's great in this world and it goes viral, right? So, hey, I'm glad it did. It was just honesty. Like I said, greatest goaltender of all time, but a lot of Patrick Roy fans, a lot of Dominic Hasek fans. Mm-hmm. But certainly, yeah, we weren't best of friends.
Well, speaking of greatness, how was your weekend?
Yeah, let's hear about this weekend.
Listen, I texted Commie a couple days ago and I said, I think I'm coming out to AZ with the wife for like a week.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so buckled and tired. I literally hit the N1 throttle Saturday morning at the airport and it literally went till yesterday. Like I am too old for this shit. It was amazing. It was amazing. And you get a chance to be around greatness. And Yags was a teammate for 3 years there, 2 years in New York. I got to play with Mario a little bit, Ron Francis. You take a picture of these three because, you know, just watching them interact and sit there, you got almost 6,000 points. That gets almost 1 million views just posting a picture of three great, great people. But the weekend was unreal, man. It was story after story. And some stories that I even forgot that I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking when I was here? No wonder I didn't play under some of these coaches.
Were you playing games? Was there a game too, Barney? Or was it just get in one and just bullshit?
It literally was wake up. And I hadn't seen Tyler Wright, who I absolutely love. Robert Lang. Martin Straka, unfortunately, couldn't be there. But Yuri Schlager. When I was there, I hung out with Ian Moran, who was my roommate. Tyler Wright, and then the Czech Mafia. That was kind of my crowd that I hung out with. Not that we had any bad apples, because they were all great guys in there. And I can go from Tommy B. He's legendary stories, like a little off the rocker in some of the ways that he is. But to see Schlags, to see Robert Lang, the one thing I take away from Yags and all the Czechs that I got to play with is the laughter. They Yags is certainly not like any other superstar I think that has ever played the game. He first of all, is so passionate about the game, like most of them are, but he's not this serious guy at the rink all day long. He's joking from the time he gets there in practice to game time, in between, all over the map. It's joke after joke and making fun of each other, but in a fun way, not a malicious way. Everything is about fun. So, man, Barney, it was awesome.
Hey, Barney, just to jump in on that, do you think that hurt Yags a little bit in the year? Like he didn't really show, like, the last 10 years when he came back, that second lease on life, like, Jágr was fun and lovable, and he was kind of the old man, but still productive, but more of a role-playing type player, where when he was that elite talent, he kind of hid himself and didn't really show that he could be that fun guy. You know, he did the salute and all that, but he almost came across as aloof in some ways that I think it kind of rubs some people the wrong way. And like, we kind of miss that personality of Jágr until I think he was more comfortable in his own skin all those years later. Would that be fair?
That would be very fair. And again, when I got there in 99, it was around his ninth or 10th year in the league. And then, you know, I saw him change before my eyes, even how less critical he was on himself, I think, on a daily basis. He truly wanted to be the best. And I think when you go through the first 5 years, I have a son that plays in Finland right now. I told you guys this before. And he finds it hard. Even though they speak pretty good English, going over and being in a different country, that's fucking hard, man. That's really, really hard. And I think Yags is one of those guys that the more he became comfortable with English, the more he became comfortable with North America, and knowing he was one of the best players in the world, I think when he did come back and near the end in Pittsburgh, it wasn't all great. He went to Washington. There was some good and bad there. Yeah. And when he did come back, he realized, listen, I love the game. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I have a shit ton of money and I'm really going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy playing the game. I'm going to go to the gym. He's not a big partier or drinker, but certainly loves to have fun. So it was just awesome seeing him there and get that accolade. I mean, you got Mario Lemieux and him, and then you're going to have Sidney Crosby. Those jerseys are going to hang over the rooftop for forever. So just a lot of laughs, a lot of memories, man. It was pretty awesome.
How was I saw the one clip, obviously, which was funny, of his speech with his girlfriend.
Yeah, that was great.
Overall, that was funny.
That's him. Like he didn't change, and you don't see Yeggs nervous very often. He was nervous to go up and speak. But that's him. Look, remember when the girl threatened him that she was going to, you know, take the picture of them laying in bed while he was asleep? He's like, "Fuck that! Give me the phone." And I love it. I mean, that's I think how most of us would be. Like, don't be ever held hostage if it's not going to put you in jail. So, you know, and that's Yeggs. And we all laughed. And when he talked about me, he's just like, what a beauty. And that's just the way he is. I think the downfall where the alcohol and everything on the weekend is when I told him, Mario and Francis, that I still could play on a team and play 12 minutes on a Stanley Cup contender. They're like, all right, time to fucking go to bed, kid.
Cut him off.
So when you're surrounded in a room or like a weekend like that, and you're talking Mario, you got Jager, you got Francis. I mean, there's so many A-listers that are there. Who's the guy that most people are listening to, or who controls that room there, Barney?
I'd say Yags, only because Mario and Ronnie are just more reserved.
Yeah, they're pretty quiet guys, right? Yeah,
they're funny in their own rights, but they aren't gonna really overpower a room in front of wives and players and fans. They're going to sit back, they're going to have a glass of wine, and they're going to talk, tell stories, but they're not going to be loud. Yags might call across the room, and he always made fun of my legs because I have really small legs. And when we get in the shower, he'd start making like chicken noises and shit like that. And I'd be like, hey, dude, like there's something going on down there that I don't know if you want to get into a war of words with me. So you can talk about my legs all you want, but we can go further. So I'd say Yags just because of his dynamic personality. He's the one that people gravitate to. And Mario is just, you know, he's a 6'4", 230-pound legend that is just all class. And you kind of, I refer to Mario as like Marc Messier. They're just classy. Not that like Gretzky is classy, but Gretzky will tell stories and come up and above other people and make people laugh. Mess is one of those guys you look at, you're like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be in the same room as this guy.
Right.
There's a presence about those two. Like yeah. Just kind of a quiet, you know, a cigar and a glass of wine. And
we go to the nicest restaurant in Alla Familia, great Italian restaurant. Mario literally takes one sip of the wine and he goes, this isn't going to fucking work. He goes, I need a wine list. Yeah. Out comes the Opus. Out comes the Tignello. Out comes the good shit. He's like, this is not going to work. That's something that Matthew Barnaby is not going to say. I'll be like, keep the cheap shit coming unless the Penguins are paying.
Have you seen Mario's wine cellar? Like, apparently it's a stuff of legends.
I have. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
What's Jager? Is Jager still playing?
He is for his team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Is that Kladno? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still got that hunched over back, and it's great. At least his girlfriend can see him play now. So that's a beautiful part of it.
What's the best Jager story on the ice? Like what the one time, the play that we've seen the 91 and the 92, like those goals against Chicago. Yeah. Do you remember one in the late 90s when he had three guys draped all over him?
The clip out there is where he's falling and then he just sticks his stick out and he puts it top shelf. You're like, everyone else braces that they're going to run into the goalie or the post or whatever. And he's got a guy draped on him and he literally sticks out his stick. To me, I remember the series when we were the eighth seed against New Jersey. He literally put us on his back and we beat the number one seed. And it was all Yags. But when I just remember him picking up the puck on the half wall on the power play. And he's got a horrible, horrible slap shot. Like he cannot take a slap shot. Like we'd laugh after practice and feed him. And literally he can't take a slap shot. Now, He's got a bend on his stick like that. He's got one of the wickedest wrist shots I've ever seen in my life. He's like, I might not be able to take a slap shot, but my wrist shot is way harder, way more accurate than your slapper. I'm like, yeah, fine. Yeah, you win. You win. I'll set up the rookie party.
Hey, while we have a moment, while you're with us, Barney, two things I want to hit on with you. First off, we're inching closer and closer to trade deadline. All three of you guys have put in your minutes and your time, obviously, over the years in the National Hockey League. You know, for fans, media, we all sit back and, you know, we speculate till the cows come home or until that deadline comes and goes. And we analyze and we speculate and we throw names out there, but there's human lives at stake. And so I'm curious, like, from all three of your perspectives, you've probably both been in a buyer's room and in a seller's room, but Barney, maybe I'll start with you. What's the mood like in these, you know, in the days and the weeks leading up to trade deadline when all that noise is out there? It's tough to turn it off, I would think.
It's tough. I think there's part of you that is scared a little bit, like what's the new beginning going to be like? And, you know, leaving something that's very comfortable. When I played in Buffalo, I was there for 7 years. So the new beginning was something I looked forward to, but I also had, I had built something that was tangible. And going to Pittsburgh, I went to Kevin Constantine, who fucking hated me, like fucking hated me as a player. And Tyler Wright brought up a story. I remember I didn't even get played in one game because I turned the puck over and he benched myself, Tyler Wright and Morozov the rest of the game. Next period of the next game, we don't play a fucking shift again. And I go from playing like 13, 14 minutes a night, second power play unit, to this. When we come back out for the second period, and 5 minutes in, he finally calls Ryder's lineup. So we're all getting ready, or they're getting ready. And I go, Ryder, can't go. He's like, what do you mean? I go, look down. And I have my flip-flops on. My fucking feet were sore. I hadn't played in a game and a half. So we got two DNPs back to back. He's like, you owe me $60. I'm like, why? He goes, well, if it's games played towards my 401k in 9 years, I'm going to be like $60 short this fucking shit. Then we get compounding at interest. It's probably like $500 you owe me. So yeah, so going to a new situation is always the unknown. I think that's really tough. I always look forward to it because I looked at it as a new beginning. And in Pittsburgh, you know, when I get traded from there to Tampa Bay, I wasn't playing a lot. I had Ivan Hlinka, who came in. We had like 19 Czechoslovakians. He didn't speak any English. My last game with him, literally, I sat on the end of the bench and screamed at Bob Probert and Brad Brown and threatening them the whole night, making fun of them. And then with like 5 minutes left in the game, we're up 5-0. He's like, Barney, you're up. And I'm like, not a fucking chance, man. You got zero chance of me going on that ice, right? So I go to Craig Patrick and he trades me to Tampa, where I think, oh my God, I'm going to Tampa Bay. This is amazing. I'm going to be unrestricted at the end of the year. Well, who do I run into? John Tortorella is my coach, who really didn't appreciate. So
there's a pattern here.
I went from great situation. I'm feeling like Terry Ryan right now. I went from great situation to bad situation to worse situation to getting traded again and going to New York, where I had an unbelievable time. I was real excited. Probably the most excited was when I was leaving New York and I knew I was going to Boston, Toronto, or the Colorado Avalanche. And I went to Colorado with Solani and Correa and Forsberg and Sakic. I mean, we had just so many great guys. And it was the first time in my career, and this was year 10, year 11, that I really thought that I had a chance of winning a Stanley Cup. So the excitement of going to that room, it didn't work out that way, but there truly was an excitement. But for a player, you're automatically accepted, right, when you get traded. You have 20 brand-new best friends that absolutely love you. It's the kids. It's leaving them for a month or two, or the wife and her trying to get acclimated, selling everything. So long-winded story. But yeah, there's just a mix of emotions that the regular person doesn't understand.
Well, Tommy, I never got traded at the deadline, but I'd like to just go to the makeup of the seller and the buyer as a team. And yep. I was on buyers and I was on sellers. The sellers, you want to be sold. You want to get out. That's that. The next 2 weeks right now as a player, you're trying to play your absolute best to get out and end up on one of those teams that's going for it, that's making a push, that Barney just talked about, 20 new best friends that want to go on a big run and think that you're a big part of that. That's the seller mentality. The buyers, deadline's so important for general managers to give your teams boost. If you're a good team and you don't make a deal at the deadline, it can be deflating. But when you're a good team and your team goes for it, in Boston, we got Sergei Gonchar and Michael Nylander at the deadline. I can't remember a more excited room just to practice the next day after that, thinking, wow, they think we're good. We're going to go on a run. These guys make us better. And that's, as a team, you're really looking for that here in the next couple of weeks. If you're at the top of the standings, top half of the standings in the NHL, you want a great player or two great players coming in to make you feel like you guys are really going on a run.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Like, I mean, my one experience as far as talking with like a boost when I was in Carolina, like we were having a good year. We were good the entire year, but it's Carolina and, you know, we didn't really have any, you know, there were some big names, don't get me wrong, but there still was like a little, we knew we were good, but I don't think just from my perspective anyways, I mean, I was just trying to play as much as I possibly could. I wasn't thinking about like, we're going on a cup run. And then Jimmy Rutherford made the move for Mark Recchi and Doug Waite. And I remember thinking at that point, I'm like, oh Jesus. I'm like, these are two big names. I mean, I grew up watching Doug in Edmonton. So that was a boost to our team. And obviously, you know, there's always kind of the shitty part of it too. Like, you know, those guys came in, but, you know, I also lost my roommate who, you know, Jesse Boularis, who was a great dude, you know, and so that part sucks of it too. You know, I see him whenever I go to Carolina, you know, that sucks. It would have been nice to have him around. But yeah, as far as personal experiences for me, you know, I was always excited if I was somewhere where things weren't going well, which was more often than not. I would say the only time that I got traded that I was like pissed was when Carolina traded me. They traded me, and you know what? Looking back, probably rightfully so, but they traded me because they didn't want to pay me. And at that time, they didn't sign people during the season, and I didn't even know what I was worth. They just unloaded me. I didn't even know it was coming. I was pissed then because I enjoyed it in Carolina. But the other times, I mean, you know, Calgary picking me up out of Anaheim to save me from Babs, you know, getting away from Babs, although it was way too late when I went to Tampa, but at least I got the hell away from the guy. But yeah, it can be exciting. I looked at it a lot like Barney did. Like, it was, because it's easy. The first time I got traded was in the summer, so I had time to deal with, but my first thought was like, oh man, New Jersey doesn't want me. And then after like 10 seconds, I'm like, you know what? Fuck New Jersey. Anaheim wants me. New beginning. And so that's how I kind of looked at it from that point forward.
And a couple of things. Fuck Jesse Boularis because he one punched me. And Second, the first time I ever met him, I'm in Arizona in your home place. Yeah. And we're at a charity golf tournament, hockey tournament. We got like 15 people in the room. This guy is jacked, man. He comes out. There's like 15 people in the room. He's honking the horn all around. He's doing the windmill. And I'm like, this guy's a weapon. Like, absolute weapon. But yeah, it's crazy. You lose some friends and you don't lose them, but you just miss them because you become so close. But when we went to Colorado, there was 8 new guys that, you know, ended up coming in that day. 8 new guys were traded to that team for that final push. And it's not that we didn't have a goaltender or, we had David Abisher, who didn't play bad, not his fault. Forsberg got hurt. Solani was hurt. So it just didn't work out. But, man, it was exciting. It was exciting. But there's some – like you said, there's teams that are making the run, and you got guys going back the other way, and you're like, I guess I wasn't part of this whole thing to make
the run. Just a little off topic, but you were just in Pittsburgh. What's the feeling around there?
Not good.
Not good,
Not good. Power play, every casual fan is talking about the power play, and they lose 2-1 in the game against LA. Another tough one. Like, this team's going to be unloading a lot of players. You don't have to worry about Malkin or Crosby or Letang, those guys. But Jake Guentzel, I mean, he could be one of those guys that is gone. But it's not a good mood there. And I'm going back this guy, which side, that side, his fantasy camp in a few weeks. So curious to see. It's going to be right around the trade deadline.
Yeah,
that's awkward. I don't think anybody would have thought power play would have been an issue with Crosby, Malkin, and Erik Karlsson all working together, right? But
yeah,
clearly not. All right, going home on this here, guys, because if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, all you got to do, up the ante, come on. Give yourself a shot at winning a free NHL jersey courtesy of Bodog. All you got to do, reply to this video wherever you're watching it, or shoot a DM to @BodogCA, the Bodog YouTube page, or on Instagram with a question for us. And if we pick your question, you get yourself a free jersey courtesy of Bodog. So this week's winner, it's Laura from Burnaby, BC, who writes in, "Boys, I saw your show for the first time when Matthew Barney, there you go, was talking trash about Hasek, and I've been tuning in ever since. Thanks for all the real talk. My question is about fashion in today's game. The players are rolling up to games ready for the runway. Was it like that for you? Did you put the effort into your pregame fits? If not, is there a former teammate you want to put on blast? Thanks for the chance. And if I win, I will order a Canucks Raycroft jersey. Whoa. So pick me, please." Laura, your wish has been granted. Why don't we start with you there, Raycroft jersey?
Wow. Thanks, Laura. Good luck. Good luck at where a GM play. What do they call it nowadays? The good luck going in there with that jersey. Rogers. There you go. I was not a fashionista in any way whatsoever. I did, you know, you do make it to the NHL and you go and get fitted for a few suits, especially the guy in Montreal. You go to Montreal and you get a couple suits from the guy. That was standard, but no, you didn't, at least for me, I didn't ever want to stand out. You didn't want to stand out. The European guys had the tight pants earlier than everyone else, but it was still about comfort and flying around the big baggy, ugly suit. So I wasn't fashion. I didn't think anything of it. But nowadays with social media, the guys are quite fond of their look, their brand.
I'll go and we'll let Bernie clean it up. I was the same way as Razor. Same kind of thing. Just show up, not look terrible. Get a pair of shoes that aren't totally scuffed from the bus and the minors. like the one thing, and it was more out of humor than anything else. I went and got myself the only time that I kind of did a little something was I went and got kind of a lighter suit when I was in Carolina for our California trips, and I wore it every year. And by the end of the trip, this thing's covered in vodka and cranberry juice. This thing was disgusting. That was the only time. I mean, I don't mind when they do it. What's that?
I said, that's very commie of you.
Yeah, but it was fucking disgusting. It's no wonder they traded me. I looked like a fucking cocktail by the end of the trip. But, in today's game, I don't mind what they're doing. I do think it's a little over the top. I don't think if I was playing, I would do it, but it's a different game.
I've always loved clothes, and probably because Rob Ray is the fucking worst dresser of all time. Like, you could take the boy out of Sterling, Ontario, but you can't take the Sterling. He'd go on the LA trip 7 to 8 days with a fucking toothbrush. He'd wash his underwear at the rink, have the trainers while we were on the ice fucking washing his underwear. We went and bought him pants one time when we were in New York because it was just so disgusting. Like, he'd have two suits for the whole year, just awful. So I put a little bit more effort. Like, on the road, I'd always have jeans, sometimes a hat or whatever. I'd always change it. And I've always liked clothes. The problem was we'd get hammered in some of these cities. I've lost suit jackets in LA, Anaheim, Columbus. And for the second half of the trip, I only have the bottom half. So most of the time, if you're in Florida or LA, you can get away with a golf shirt or whatever it may be. If you're on the East Coast in the winter, obviously you got a winter jacket over top that you can hide away. But yeah, I've lost a lot of jackets along the way. Staying overs in cities early was really tough.
There you go, Laura. Your question's been answered, and you got yourself a free NHL jersey courtesy of Bodog. All right, they're giving us the go-home cue. Just a quick reminder, we are officially on the road to the Stanley Cup. Make sure you make a play. Get in on all the action every single night, all the props you need to make hockey exciting for every single shift, and even Stanley Cup odds courtesy of Bodog.eu. Bodog's got you covered with all the action. It keeps you locked in every shift all season. Make a play, score big with Bodog. Barney, thanks again for coming back. You're kind of like family now, so I hope we can do it again sometime sooner rather than later. And where can we find you for people on social? If obviously I know a lot of people can find you already, but just in case, a quick reminder, if you want to plug away.
Matt Barbie 3636. I don't even know what my Instagram is. I'm not sure, but there'll be some drunk posts on there coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to Philadelphia, going to Pittsburgh, and just keep it rolling, man. Like Commie says, let's get in one.
Yes.
Living the dream. Commie, anything exciting on the horizon?
Well, sort of. I got to go to North Dakota next week, and I'm going to watch. I had to bail out on Mika Kiprasov's jersey retirement. Oh. I got to go to North Dakota, so I got to get my next card renewed. So I'm going to watch a couple games up there. That would be about it.
Is it still the Ralph Engelstadt there?
Oh, yeah. That'll be there for a long time. Yeah. I don't think that's getting replaced anytime soon.
Razor, it's crunch time in Boston.
Crunch time in Boston. Yeah, we got the deadline coming, so everyone's talking, wondering. They're out west right now, so lots of late nights. And yeah, it's just every other night. College hockey, too. North Dakota. We've got regionals for ESPN coming up. So all that stuff. Yep.
He's Matthew Barnaby. He's Mike Commodore. He's Andrew Raycroft. I'm James Cebulski. We'll see you next time on the Clearing the Crease podcast, powered by Bodog.